I also would like to deal with Abraham, chapter 17. I had forgotten yesterday afternoon to cut on the heat down here, completely forgotten it. And Toby asked me about 9 o'clock, did I remember it? And I said no. And he asked two little boys out there if they wanted to go with him. And Ryder didn't understand, so he won't know why. Why are you going down there to cut on the heat? I said, so it'll be warm for you. He said, oh, if it's cold, that means we can't turn the pages. And that means you could only preach from one page. I said, that's right. And he said, I asked him, how long do you think I can preach from one page? About 30 minutes. But his point wasn't the time. I asked him, he want me to get through in 30 minutes. No, I stay for an hour, Sunday school, an hour preaching when I don't go down there. So he wasn't in 30 minutes. He was concerned about not being able to turn the pages. Now, everybody got warm fingers? Right of your fingers able to turn the page? Genesis 17. Again, like Toby said, I am dealing with very familiar passages. Got this one, and then I think two in the Psalms. Been here before, many, many years ago, may have quoted it many times since I dealt specifically with this verse. But it doesn't matter how many times you read a verse, if you keep going back, you'll always get something new. And I trust that will be so this morning. But it's not a matter of you getting something new. It's a matter of God bringing all of us to a confrontation with Him. And that we do not have. And even if you have it, it is such a small space of time. And it will be long before everything you're involved in and with will have taken it from you. So I keep longing for the day when God again will visit His church. Been a long, long time. As a matter of fact, we have not seen it in our lifetime. And because we do not know but little about it, and that for most is only mentally, we think everything is okay. Now you've got to question yourself within, is it? Is everything all right? And I want to speak to you on God's appearance to Abraham, where God said to him, "Walk before me." Would you bow with me, please, as we seek the God that we know about, that we might come to know. And if we know, to know more fully. Our Father, in Thy great mercy, You've seen fit to give us one more opportunity to gather to sit together to be challenged . Do we know Thy fear? It's all right looking back and saying, "Well, God delivered Abraham from having to sacrifice his son." But Abraham didn't know that. And we might say we will do these things, but we do not know what we will do when called upon to sacrifice that which is so dear to us. I pray that You might continue to increase our knowledge in an experimental way of Thee, wherein we might come to fully trust, completely obey, lovingly submit to Thy will. And I don't know of asking You this, whether it be unbelief in me or whether it be the day in which we live. But I ask anyway, would You deal with unconcern, uncaring hearts and would You awaken . We think because we are not in the hog pen that we are okay and abiding in our Father's house. For we've all mentally pictured what the hog pen is. But we may be there, Lord. And we're eating the garbage of the world. I pray you'd help. And Lord, don't let us keep on coming down here and hearing and storing it up. We know what the will of God is. We know a little of who God is, Christ is, the Spirit is. But we are not yet saved. Not to the extent we shall be if we are thy children. Have mercy upon all that gathered here this day. Grant wisdom, the Spirit of God, His direction, and His unction in speaking and working in these a hearing. All to the glory of Christ, for it is in His name we ask these things. Amen. Genesis 17, verse number 1, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Our translators put the little word am in there, I, the Almighty God. Has God appeared to you? Has God confronted you? Has God said to you, you're out of step with me, you're not walking before me, get everything straightened out, be thou perfect. And He is not talking about us arriving at a state in which sin has all vanished and it no longer has its effects upon us. There's no such thing as sinless perfection in the life of a child of God. You will deal with flesh the rest of your days after the Lord saves you, if He will save you. But be perfect. That you coming into the statue of a full grown person, that you coming before the Lord, W-H-O-L-E, whole, in that there is no known sin. Mr. Barnes said many times, God will save every lost man or woman, every one of them. And someone would say, well, are not all men lost? No. Not in their own awareness, they're not. He said, oh, well, one says, I know I'm lost. He said, no, you don't. If you knew you were lost, you'd be on your face before God begging for mercy. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I'll make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked. He's already commanded him. And now the confrontation Abram has with God has done to him what it will do to every individual. It'll put us on our face. And when you get in the right spiritual position, God will talk with you. I want to ask you, and you be honest, not in answering it out loud, but within your own heart, how long has it been since God said something to you? Well, I read my Bible every day. You won't ever come to a knowledge of your Bible that the devil has. Never. You won't ever in this life know God to the degree that Satan and all his little demons know him. So you might hear God speak when you read your Bible. You might. Good possibility that you don't. You might hear God speak through preaching. Well, see, I know you, and I know something of your past and your downfalls and your ways that were not right. Okay, go ahead and make excuses. Listen to what Paul said. He said there's a group of folk out there, a group of preachers out there, that are preaching Christ, and their motive is that they might add more afflictions to me. That's the only reason they're preaching. He said, but I don't care. It matters not to me what their motive is. Christ is preached. And the Lord can take a devil behind a pulpit and use his words as a message to your heart. But mostly devils are those that are filling the pulpits, standing behind the pulpits today, and they're patting everybody on the back, and they're telling everybody it's okay. You got saved. Don't you remember when? You got saved. Everything's all right. And they're speaking peace when God is not speaking peace. And they are healing the heart of the daughter of my people slightly. They got cuts on them that are deep into their flesh. and they're putting a Band-Aid on them, telling them to go on, it's all right. God talked with him. And then he goes on the rest of the chapter. Moses tells us some of the things God said to Abraham. Now, dear soul, if God calls you to a certain place or a certain condition, it is because you are not there. And it is because that is missing in your life. And if God said to Abram, walk before me, it is because he is not doing that. In Acts 27, when the Lord said to Paul, fear not, Paul, for you've got to be a witness for me. You be brought before Caesar, you'll stand. So don't be concerned about the storm that has taken all your hope from you. And you will, your life not be spared. Don't be concerned about that. It will be, and I'm going to give you all those that say are with me, with thee. The reason God said for him not to fear was because that was in his heart. And in Acts, when he's down in Corinth, he told him to be not afraid. I've got much people here. Or to Joshua, time and again, before he ever sets Joshua out in front, be strong and of good courage. God's not telling him to be that because he's already there. He keeps on telling him these things because he's a weak man. And he is a timid fellow. He's not a courageous man. And God said to Abram, you walk before me. And before me, those two words are translated mostly, other than before me, many times more than any of the others, face. Walk in my face. It is also translated presence and sight. Now the world thinks that that means Abraham was at a place where he was out of sight with God. God couldn't see. And the Pharisees and the hypocrites, Jesus said they love to go out in the street and for pretense, for a cloak, a covering, they make long prayers. And at the bottom of their overcoat, they've got all kind of scripture written down there. And the only reason they're doing this is because they want to be noted of men. Men of high standards. Now, if God cannot see in the depths of your soul, then that's hidden. Christ was just making up something about the Pharisees and scribes. At one time, the knowledge of God was so relevant in a society that the more notable and shameful, outlandish sins would be committed under the shades of darkness. Paul said, shameful to be even spoken about. Ephesians 5:12, it is a shame even to speak of those things that are done in secret. I'm not going to talk to you about what's going on out there, he said. I'm not going to mention it. I'm not going to clutter up your mind and have these things keep popping up in your mind. But folk, that no longer is true. What our grandparents would blush if hearing certain terms and dare never speak them, they have become common language to us. It doesn't offend us anymore. What's on TV? What's on the internet? We don't blush. As if God can't see in our hearts. Jeremiah 23:24, God asked the question, can any hide himself in a secret place that the Lord, that I do not see? Do not I feel heaven and earth? And so you've got a little God, and you've got him way up there, and you still got him in time. And you think all this is outside God. No. Our world, all people, all nations, tribes, kindred, all the planets, all the different galaxies, ever how many make up our universe, God's not outside these are all in God. He's a little bigger than what we know. There will be a day, Romans 2:16, when the Lord shall judge the secrets of men's heart by that man Christ Jesus, or by Christ Jesus. God's going to open it up. I mean, it's already open before him. You are an open book. For Christ said, there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. There is nothing hid that shall not be known. What you speak in secret, God's going to shout it from the housetop. My soul. What's that day going to be when God makes known the very secrets of our heart? And words that we spoke, we didn't intend on anybody else hearing, except the one we spoke them to, God's going to uncover them and reveal them. So when God says, walk before me, he's not talking about, Abram, I sure wish you'd get in a place where I can see you. That's me. That's you. Getting to a place where God is in view. In your view. And and our hearts are so fixed upon that view that His choicest treasures can be revealed unto you. Be perfect. And God talk with you. And here's what God said when He called him, I, the Almighty God. Abram, I want you to look around at this little old ball that you're standing on. I made it. Didn't have any material to work with. I want you to look around at all the grass that I put there that would keep this place where you live from being a desert. I created it. Look at all the trees. All the green plants that are taking in the carbon dioxide and providing you with something to breathe. I made it. I, the Almighty God. I want you to look up at the sun that provides warmth and light. I made it. I made it from nothing. Look at all the stars. They already told him this one time, go out and count them. I made them. I made them from nothing. You remember when Judas threw down those 30 pieces of silver? He said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. I've known these men that are Christ's disciples for about 3 years. I've seen their downfalls. I've seen their sins. I've been in the world forever how many years since his birth. And I've looked at men and women and children, and I've always seen that in them which made me know they were but humans. But I saw in him an innocence that I had never seen before. I betrayed the innocent blood. So Abram walked before me. Again, it's not me coming out from under my cover where God cannot see me. It's not me walking out in the open now, but it's me getting to that place where I see God. I become aware of the presence of God. I'm talking about an unknown thing here to you. An awareness of the presence of God. An awareness of the face of God. You know anything about it? Let me ask you this, since God's calling him to his face, before his presence, there for him to walk, that is a mode of living. Is it possible for God to turn away his face from his children? Is it possible? Not in the strictest sense, for that would mean that we might do that which God could not see and get away with it. The Lord is in His holy temple, Psalm 11:4. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes and his eyelids try the children of men. No place you can go. You can't get away from the presence of God. So, in the strictest sense, it is not us coming out from under a rock where God can see us. I told you when the great tsunami hit a few years back, 70 something species of animals were washed ashore that scientists did not know existed in the world. We've named a lot of stars. We've yet to count their number, though. The grains of sand upon the seashores, we think it is innumerable. The water in all of the different oceans, God said, I hold it in the palm of my hand. I weigh the mountains. God's throne is in heaven. And his eyes are open always before you. So it's not Abram getting to some physical play. It's Abram getting to a lost condition. Hadn't been walking with God. But in a scriptural context, the children can get to a place where the Lord is not looking upon you. Not literally now, I can't ever be. But you can get to a place where the glory and the love and the mercy and the grace of God is not manifest to you. And he turns his face from you. Isaiah 59, your iniquities have separated between you and God. I'm not looking at you. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you. Are you specific enough with God when asking requests that you will know when God grants it? Or are you more general? Therefore, you do not have to look for an answer. Therefore, you do not know if God is hearing you or answering you. Your iniquities have separated between you and me. And your sins have caused him to hide his face from you. Well, you don't see the face of God. Abraham's lost that. Not some great sin. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse number 132. Can you get to a place where God does not see you? No. Can you get to a place where God does not look upon you? Yes. Look upon ye in mercy, love, grace. Psalm 119:132, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Or as David prayed in Psalm 51, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Is it possible for God to cast one away from his presence? No. No, not even in hell will you be out from beneath the presence of God. No place you can go where God is not. You'll always be in God's presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Is it possible for God to remove that which he has given to every child? No. But you can lose a manifestation of the presence of God and a working of his Spirit in your soul. So when the psalmist here says, look upon me, he's not trying to persuade God to look at him. No. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He's not saying, Lord, you're not seeing me. No. That's not what he's saying. The eyes of the Lord, 2 Chronicles 16, run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Why is he doing that? That he may show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect. That's God looking at you. And this was God calling Abram to get to a place where God could manifest himself to him. Look upon me. But God's always looking upon you. But you are not aware of that because sometimes our sins hide his face from us that he will not look upon us. Be merciful unto me. Well, here again, dear soul, mercy is never and can never be withdrawn for one single moment from a child of God. The mercy of God is as secure to a child being bestowed upon them as is God himself. And yet God's love, God's mercy, God's grace is only given to those with an earnest desire for it. Again, another question I hope will challenge your soul. How long has it been since you desired to gaze into the face of God? Look upon me. All too oft, the power and the deceitfulness of sin and our evil hearts of unbelief have cast us into a lifeless condition. And we all become content. Tell me it is not so with you. We've all become content with present condition without any desire for the Lord to look upon us. It is no wonder then that a holy and jealous God should hide himself from us because he only manifests himself to those with such a desire as this, look on me.
Be merciful unto me. Cast not me away from thy presence. For the iniquity of his covetousness, I think Isaiah 57, God said, I was wroth. I hid me. And you know what happens when God hides himself from you? You march merrily along down the streams of life thinking everything's okay. And all of us are in trouble when God hides himself from us. Well, I'm returning to my place till they acknowledge their sins. If your child in their afflictions, they will see me early. Abraham may live 13 years without much of a desire. Now remember this, that the life back then was a lot longer. So 13 years to them be about like a month or 2 months to us. 6 months at the most. God's not going to leave you out there. God's going to afflict you. Be a lot better if you try to get up real close to your father that holds the rod. It won't hurt nearly as much as if you're standing at a distance from him and you catch the end of the rod. It is no wonder, due to our brief glances, due to our cold and indifferent heart, so distant from the Lord, that his love and his mercy, our sonship, his fatherhood, make no impressions upon us. Here's where Abram was. In Genesis 16, last verse, Abram was 86 years old. When Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. And when, and I'm pretty confident of being right here, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, see, the "and" connected back with verse number 16, remembering that there were no chapter divisions in the original scriptures. So for 13 years, Abram has been content. In chapter 15, Abram gets back from warfare and he's all afraid and discouraged. And God said, I don't want you to be afraid. I am thy exceeding great reward. I'm your shield. And Abram said, but Lord, what are you going to give me seeing I go childless? And that's not to get a son so we can have one. That's to get a son that possibly the lineage of Christ might be brought in. What do you give me seeing I go childless? Well, Abram, this servant that you said only one born in your house, that's not going to be. That's not going to be your heir. I'm going to give you a son. Now in chapter 16, because time has passed, 10 years has passed, and Sarah comes up with this brilliant idea, since I can't have children, you take my handmaid. And guess what happens? Abram's got a son. God has now fulfilled his promise. But Abram does not know that Ishmael was a son born after the flesh, and he'll always be persecuting the son born after the spirit. But he's got a son. He's got no desire for another seed. It was that longing and pressing desire in his soul that kept him walking before God, and that motivated him to continue in prayer and supplication and longings. Now God's given you just about everything. And every last one of us will settle down on our knees, and we'll rest comfortably in the little nest that God has given. What do you need? And I would dare bet you that the needs that you come up with most of the time are in the physical. When we get what we want, of course, we're always wanting something else, something new, something different. And we're working ourselves to death to accomplish and get more things that will make life easier for us to live. And we're just that little animal running around in that cage all the time. But when we get what we want, there's a tendency in every one of us. Abraham believed God. Abraham's the father of the faith. But he got what he wanted. And he settled down. And the chief butler got out of jail and was brought back into Pharaoh's court serving him. And for 2 years he forgot the promise he made to Joseph. We just forget. Remember when you promised God way back then, if he would do thus and thus, you would serve him always? Well, how's that going? You forgot him, didn't you? Don't tell me you didn't. It's just in our nature. You remember that great difficulty and that great strait and that within that was such a pressing thing upon you. And told God, I'll do. I'll try to be whatever you want me to be if you'll help me here. If I walk before God, it means that there is nothing whatsoever in my heart between God and me. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, And that faith means God getting you above everything. Men, women, the fear of man brings the snare. The world, it's got its bait, its lures, its attractions. And all you see is that shiny object on the bait. And you don't see Satan's hook hidden. It means, this faith means you getting above all adversities and difficulties and straits. And you just, whatever you're in, you just stop and you think, God's above this difficulty. God's above this situation. And you just get God in sight. And it blocks out all these things that are keeping you from walking, seeing the face of God. And every time God calls us to Himself, and with you, it's not the big things that are keeping you from walking before God. It's not. It's the little foxes that are spoiling the vine, robbing you. One last, and I'm just about over time. Psalm 36. I'm closing with this, so do not grow weary in well-doing. Psalm 36:10. Oh, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee. Well, God can't take that away from you because He loves you with an eternal love. But I'm not so much concerned about what I know of the love of God in my head as having read it from here. I'm concerned about knowing the love of God in my heart. God manifesting that. Continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Is there just one here today that says God called you out from where you are unto Himself? Or are we going to walk out one more time and brush off the call of God? The latter, unless God does something to and for you that He is not doing today. And that is drawing you unto Himself. Where do you stand, folks? With God.